My name is Ann Wright. I'm a 29-year U.S. Army veteran and retired as a colonel. Also was a U.S. diplomat and resigned in opposition to the war in Iraq. We are here today to talk about a very, very serious and important issue that the U.S. military faces, and that is sexual assault on military members, women and men both. And what we feel is a failure of military leadership to take care of its own people. We will be talking about a specific incident concerning Suzanne Swift. She has been sexually assaulted in Iraq. She returned to the United States and was in the same unit as the perpetrators of those assaults. She then went AWOL for 6 months and then was picked up by the U.S. military and is detained now at Fort Lewis. We will be having with us today women veterans who are going to talk about the whole issue of sexual assault. We have two board members of Veterans for Peace, a national veterans organization, who will be speaking to you in terms of their long service in the military. We have a woman who was sexually assaulted herself. And then we have the mother of Suzanne Swift. I'd like to ask one of our national vice presidents of the Veterans for Peace, Sharon Kufelt, to be our first speaker.
In 1969, I enlisted in the Air Force during the Vietnam War. I was 21 years old at the time. I'd put myself through 2 years of college, and I was raised to believe in the responsibilities of citizenship, and also that everyone should give some service for the good of all. A family friend, a retired lieutenant colonel, explained how the military, the Air Force specifically, could be a wonderful career. And I looked forward to it. The Air Force would pay me and pay me to finish my college education, my tuition, and I could go to OCS and serve as an officer for the remainder of my career. I was told that I could choose what that career would be. There were openings coming up for new jobs for women, and actually I got one of those. I was one of the first women trained in computers in the Air Force. Since I hadn't had much luck in finding equality for women in the workplace, I was excited about the possibility of equality for serving my country. After I went in, I found much that I enjoyed. The teamwork, some of the people I served with. I was one of the first women, as I said, training computers. I was proud of wearing the uniform. I was stationed at Headquarters Pacific Air Forces at Hickam Air Force Base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. What a choice place. I loved my work. What I was not expecting was the misogyny. What I was not expecting was the curfew when the men I served with were free. When I questioned this practice, I was told that this was for our own protection. Protecting us from what on a restricted military base, I asked. Because it was during war you had to show ID to get on base. Protected from the men. Just like in town, there were places and times where it wasn't safe to be out and about. The incidents of rape and sexual assault are at least 2 to 3 times higher in the military than anywhere in any civilian population. And likely this is a very conservative number. The military sexual trauma I received was relatively minor compared to many. It was an escalation of the attempted rape by my boss back in civilian life. It happened on the beach on a base when I was out walking past sunset. I shouldn't have been there, was what I was told, and to shut up. Let me make myself clear. Women enter the military to be of service to our country. We come in because we respect the ideals, the Constitution, and we care a great deal. No one tells us to serve. We volunteer. We come forward. It's unconscionable that this behavior towards women is fostered by the very training that we all receive in the military. It only takes a few hours of listening to the language of the DIs and the words that they say and the cadences that are called. Separating one for their humanity is necessary to train people to kill, they say. Separating one and dehumanizing others is necessary, they say. If you're fighting for a good reason, I don't think so. But in any case, military training definitely dehumanizes at least half the population right off the bat. Over the years, as I've spoken to dozens of women who have served in the military at various times from World War II forward, I've heard so many horrific stories. Really, really bad stories. It's time once again to bring military sexual trauma to the forefront of our communications. It's time to speak out and clean up this mess. Few people actually realize how systemic it is. It happens to both men and women. It's not about sex. We all know that. It's about power. It's about power over. It's about dominion. It's about the abuse of power. I call on the military to punish perpetrators, and I applaud the courage of women like Suzanne Swift for stepping forward. She's a survivor of military sexual trauma. She is standing up and saying, no, no more. I'm speaking out. I call on the military to give her the justice she deserves. She deserves an honorable discharge, and she deserves full treatment for any of her medical needs. And I call on the VA because that's probably where she will get her treatment when she leaves the military. I call on them for full PTSD care for women. The military must right this injustice now. Release her. Allow her to heal. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. I'd like to ask Ellen Barfield, another one of our vice presidents of the National Organization Veterans for Peace, to talk about the issue of sexual assault.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you all for being here. This is such an important issue. I served later than Sharon. I served from 77 to 81 in the U.S. Army. I, too, went into a formerly all-male or virtually all-male field when they were making a big increase in the number of women in the military. I was a mechanic, heavy equipment mechanic. I worked on forklifts, scoop loaders, bulldozers, that kind of thing. And I was very proud to be in an area where women were just coming in and to do that work, which was seen as something women couldn't do. And yes, I was blindsided, as I think we all have been, by the allowed, even encouraged, misogyny and abuse of women in the military. Seeing them as a sexual resource for the men. Unfortunately, that's very common. My first duty station was in Germany, and it was relatively minor, but I did have an attempted rape there. And my captain, the commander of my unit, handled it extremely badly. He did not call in the CID, which is the military version of the FBI. He basically did nothing. But later on, I found out that he had told a lot of the men in the unit. I'm fortunate that I didn't get further assaulted or beaten up because of who I said I thought it might be. No one in particular, but some people that I thought it might be. I only saw the guy in the shadow at night, so I don't know who it was. But it was extremely poorly handled, and that's probably pretty typical. I didn't have any further repercussions, fortunately, except some of those guys later were in the same unit with me at a later duty station. And I heard from a female friend of mine who was also a friend of theirs. That's how I found it out. And I'm real lucky that that's all it was. However, I had a colleague at that first duty station in Germany who had one of the more atrocious stories. She had been in an outlying base of our company, of our battalion. In Europe, the companies are scattered instead of all being on a big military base like here in the U.S. She had been raped, and then she was lesbian baited, accused of being a lesbian, because of course only a lesbian would refuse his advances. And so they kicked her out of that unit and sent her to ours. And the reason I know this story to the extent I do is because others of the women on the base told me. She was so burned by that, that even though I was rooming in a room with her for several months before I moved out to another room, she barely spoke to anyone, even the rest of us women. I still think about her and wonder how or if she's been able to put her life back together. Her name was Jan. I don't remember her last name. But I still think about her and worry about her. And these stories are far too common. It is atrocious what the military allows to happen to its female soldiers, who it claims to value the service of. How dare they allow this stuff to continue and even encourage it? I must say that they do encourage it. It is absolutely a result of the training. It is absolutely part of the dehumanization. And they absolutely must end it now. We are very proud to stand here in support of Suzanne and her mother. And I told her mother yesterday, pardon my mild profanity here, that I said, I am so grateful to you for making a load of noise about this. Because like every other injustice and atrocity in the world, they only end when a lot of people stand up and say, no more, damn it. No more. End this now. Give her an honorable discharge right now. Take care of her as long as she needs the care. Right now. Thank you.
Our next speaker is April Fitzsimmons, U.S. Air Force personnel, who has done a lot of research on sexual assault. April.
Well, I only did the research because I had personal experience with sexual assault while I was in the military. I was in the Air Force from 1985 to 89. I was an intelligence analyst. And while I was stationed overseas in Italy, I was attacked in my room by a fellow serviceman. I got lucky. He attacked someone else, and then the cops or the MPs on base turned up the heat. And when I heard this person's name, I knew it was him. And I said, well, that happened to me too. And a trial ensued, and I happened to have a very brave Senior Master Sergeant Gacki who went to my defense and made sure that I had the proper legal counsel that I needed, and he ended up leaving the base. But what happened to him after that, I still don't know. And quite frankly, I was too embarrassed and too ashamed to ask. I was an intelligence analyst. You're taught not to say much, even in matters that might personally affect your well-being and sanity. But they believed me because I was the intel analyst. I was the Airman of the Year. Surely, this woman must be telling the truth. This isn't one of those women that, you know, dresses scantily or has too much to drink at the bars. She must be telling the truth. So yes, he was put away, and I put that thought away for 17 years until 9/11. I'd been perfectly quiet. And now you can't stop me from talking. Yeah. Because what's happening today is an outrage, and it's a shaming. It's we're ashamed, and it's okay. And now we just need to know the next steps. And when I saw the story of Suzanne Swift, I was so inspired by her courage. You know, I could never do what she's doing today. And these Iraq veterans against the war standing up while their fellow servicemen are still serving is so brave. And it's uncomfortable. And it's inconvenient. And the discomfort is what I want to deal with today, because what we're talking about is bringing military sexual trauma to the forefront of the media. This is as important as American Idol. This is as important as the car you drive. This is as important as the children or the grandchildren you're trying to raise well in the world. And if there is not immediate attention brought to this, we are in dire trouble, because this is what we've got. We've got soldiers in a country where prostitution and pornography are illegal. This was not the case in Vietnam. Men had a sexual outlet. I am not permitting their behavior by any means. But I am saying, look at what we've built. And what shall we now do? What is to be done? 45% of women in the military are sexually assaulted. In one study, 79% assaulted, 14% gang raped. This is not acceptable. So I'm encouraging the citizens today to do whatever you can, what you have not done yet, what you know is right to do, and scary. And it may ostracize you from your friends. It may ostracize you from people you love. But what is the cost of not speaking up and speaking louder today? So I made our first one sheet about military sexual trauma for Veterans for Peace. We have a one-stop shop for the websites that we've come to know about this disease, this problem that we have.
This criminal activity,
which can be addressed in a logical, sensible manner. It's something that happens on college campuses. It's something that happens in the U.S. military. But in the U.S. military, these men are trained to fight, and they are trained to get what they want at any cost. How does that leave a woman sitting across from him after one cocktail? Vulnerable. Young men going in the service must be trained in humanity, and that is impossible with what we train our soldiers to do. So I don't have the answers, but someone in this room does. And with the combination of these answers and intelligence and passion and commitment in this room to humanity, I trust that this work will be done. The last thing I want to say is that the men and women serving are serving their country dutifully. They may not know why they're serving. They may not understand the full effects of what they're doing today. But when they get out, they should be provided for, regardless of how many cocktails they had or perhaps if they brought on the fondling themselves. The questioning that goes on for women that come forward who've been sexually assaulted is a shame. It's an outrage. If General Hayden's granddaughter came to him and said, "Papa, this man touched me in an inappropriate way," do you have any idea what would happen to that man? What I want to say is it's a twofold problem. We have women in the military, and we're honored to be there. I was honored to be an American soldier until I found out what my government really does in the world. And we have men in the military who've always had needs since we were walking around on our knuckles. And if you deny that, and if you don't look at that, you're ignorant. So I realized we have Stephen Green, who rapes the 14-year-old Iraqi girl. And we have Suzanne Swift, my new American hero. And we have this range of rage going on. And so I sat down on the 4th of July weekend, and this is what I created for you. A recipe for disaster. Ingredients: 500,000 teaspoons of U.S. troops, 1 lump of a sadistic boss, 2 cups innocent girls, 1 ounce public, thinly sliced. Mold troops to kill and need aggression liberally. Sprinkle with ideology, drain humanity, and fill with national pride. Start the war. In a separate bowl, whip the public into a froth so that the disaster is good and hot by the time the troops enter the war. Take 500,000 troops and arrange them in a country where prostitution and pornography are illegal for an unspecified amount of time. Broil for several rotations so that the troops are sufficiently hardened before proceeding to the next step. Sprinkle the troops generously with sandstorms, IEDs, noisy explosions, kill counts, pollution from depleted uranium, chemical spills, random artillery rounds, poisonous groundwater, oil fires, and a toxic soup of fecal matter, blood, hair, and skin. Combine a dollop of stress and blend with the threat of never knowing when and if the troops will be fried by the insurgents, and the complex confusion of knowing who is your friend and who is your foe. Gradually add in 50 pounds of additional body armor and limit sex and communication with loved ones to ensure a thick disaster forms. Sift in female soldiers and civilians and steam. Delicately fold in one Abir Kasim Hamza, 14 years old. And lace with remorse. Alternately add a dash of anti-aphrodisiac into your MREs to ensure sexual energy does not rise prematurely and layer into the pan. Soak the troops in guilt, depression, fatigue, shame, confusion, camaraderie, poverty, good benefits, and an unreasonable fear of terrorists. Withhold accurate information from the troops or they may simmer over. Brush the sadistic boss with a heaping spoonful of hubris and cock-a-hoop, look it up, and the inability to accept full responsibility and resign. Rub the cavities with salt and chill and firm. Skim the excess at the top. Combine these ingredients and flash fry in a deep fat and apathy for 3 minutes. Gently lay the troops side by side. And please be careful because they're very fragile. Pull up their bootstraps as they may not be able to do it for themselves. Turn up the heat periodically while they cook in a war thousands of miles from their wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, and husbands. Be sure to set the timer, as you will want to know when to take the troops out. Do not open up the war to check, as the disaster may fall. Allow the disaster to cool until all is forgotten. Garnish with bravery and a sprinkling of Suzanne Swift, and decorate with medals and ribbons. Heap with sadness and serve. Thanks.
Thank you, April.
Is that going to be online later?
These organizations that we have right here are very important organizations. Veterans for Peace has for 20 years provided solace and concern for members of the military. Iraq Veterans Against the War is a brand new organization, only 2 years old, composed of men and women who have served in Iraq and who say we, the United States, should not be in Iraq. They've taken a very strong moral stand against the war, and they are standing here in solidarity with Suzanne Swift, who has had criminal things done to her by the U.S. military. She has asked that a brand new friend of hers, who represents this brand new organization, Iraq Vets Against the War, speak. Kelly Daugherty, one of the co-founders of Iraq Vets Against the War.
I think as everyone can see up here, we have women from many different generations who have served in the military. Military sexual assault and abuse is nothing new, but I think with the war in Iraq, with the increased violence and dehumanization that's going on in our military right now, it's increasing. And the military doesn't want to expose it. I was in the National Guard for 8 years. I was a sergeant in Iraq, and like Suzanne Swift, I was in a military police company. Women on our unit throughout the deployment were told we couldn't go running alone, we couldn't go to the showers alone, we couldn't be out after dark alone because we faced such a threat from the male soldiers that we were serving with. And this is unacceptable, and the military does not want people to know that it's going on. They victimize the people who are the victims and the survivors of sexual abuse. They say it's your fault. They don't look at the causes of why men in the military are harassing people and assaulting them, and it's completely unacceptable. And Suzanne deserves an honorable discharge, full medical care, and all women deserve the ability to serve in the military in safe conditions when we're out there on the front lines in a war, and then we come back to our base and we still have to look over our backs. That is completely shameful. For this nation to stand by and let that happen, and for people not to be aware of the huge amounts of sexual assault going on in the military right now. And I think we as women need to stand together, and we as women and men, veterans, people in the service, need to stand together and support each other on this, to say that an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. And I want to thank Suzanne for her courage in coming out and taking a stand against her attackers. Thank you.
Well, it's human nature that when one's child, when one's relative is harmed, the mother goes after it. And I'll tell you what, Suzanne Swift has a mother like we all ought to have. Sarah Rich has been a voice that we all need, a voice of conscience for not only her daughter and what's happened to her, but for the rest of us. Sarah Rich.
Thank you for being here. Yesterday when my PR person called and did the media release, she was told by a few people that it would be a tough day for them to come cover Suzanne's story because, you know, the Seahawks are playing today. And I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. I appreciate you more than I can tell you. And I have to say that my daughter, Suzanne, is my hero, that I was so proud of her when she put on her sack and went to Iraq. And when she came home, I was so proud of her. And when she went AWOL, when she made that decision, that reaction to go AWOL, she was my hero. So I want you to know that she is absolutely one of the strongest people I know, and I love her with all my heart. So I want to continue with what I wrote on little pink paper. All right, as our world slips into international crisis, our attention moves in many directions. My focus through these times remains at a very personal issue. My daughter is still being held at Fort Lewis against her will. It has been 63 days since my daughter, who served a year in Iraq, while being harassed and assaulted, was taken from my home in handcuffs, put in jail, strip searched, and treated like a common criminal. She has been returned to active duty while she waits for her fate with the Army to be decided. So we wait. We wait to see if she will be granted the honorable discharge with full benefits, or will she be charged and treated as a criminal while the perpetrators who abused her go free. This is a familiar story. Since my daughter was arrested, we have heard from hundreds of military, both vets and active, all with the same story. This happened to me, and nobody helped. It was swept under the carpet, and my attackers went free. Women like Jessica in South Korea and Lawanda in Afghanistan, who are suffering right this minute. Right now, soldiers who are serving in the military are being raped, and no one is helping them get the care they need. My last email from Lawanda was that she attempted suicide. This attempt finally got some attention, and her command started to help her. These stories and many others are what keep us firmly on the path to find a way to hold the U.S. military accountable to protect these soldiers from rape and assault and harassment. My grandpa was a U.S. Army colonel, and he taught me how to fight for what is right, and what happened to my daughter is not only not right, it is an epidemic. And although the Pentagon has created 22 commissions and task forces around military sexual assault and trauma, the predators are still roaming free while our young soldiers are at risk, not only from combat they face, but from their superiors. We have to demand an end to military sexual violence. The voices of these women behind me and these women vets are clear and strong, and I urge you, the media, to listen to us. Suzanne Swift deserves her freedom from the institution which allowed this trauma and abuse to occur. I want to thank everybody that's here right now in this room for holding this space for Suzanne, knowing that the right action is going to be happening. The Iraq Veterans Against the War, I want to thank you. I want to thank Code Pink and Vets for Peace and Military Families Speak Out. I can't tell you the strength that we have received and the energy and power we have received from these organizations. For everybody that's done a rally or written a congressman or a senator, I thank you, thank you, thank you. Free my daughter and stop military sexual violence and command rape now. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, we have stories from so many women that are right here, women veterans who have had the same thing happen to them that Suzanne has had. As a senior military woman officer, I demand that the commanding general of I Corps at Fort Lewis, Washington, immediately discharge Suzanne Swift, immediately give her an honorable discharge, and immediately provide her with medical help and emotional help to get over the criminal activity that command has allowed to go on. Yes. And if Suzanne is not discharged and released from the military in 5 days, I call upon all of the people in the Seattle area to march to Fort Lewis, Washington every single day and hold a demonstration outside the gates of Fort Lewis until that woman is released and given an honorable discharge and provided with medical care. We call upon all women of the military, if this has happened to you, please notify us. Notify us through Veterans for Peace or through Iraq Veterans Against the War or any of the other organizations that are represented here. We will be working on your behalf. We will go directly to your chain of command, and we will demand immediate response to get you out of the dangerous and harmful environment that you're in. We will be relentless on this. The military has to be held accountable, and the accountability starts now. So we have lots of work to do on behalf of our military. We want a professional military that's here for the defense of our country. We want our military people. We are the military. We are the veterans of the military, and we will not stand for the degradation, the unprofessional behavior of the senior leadership of the Department of Defense and senior military leaders that are letting this go on. So we've got lots of work to do. We all have to put down whatever we think is important in our lives and really look at what's important for our military and the men and women in this military. So please, we call upon you for action. We'll need your help next week here at Fort Lewis. We'll need your help in Washington. We will resolve this problem, and no more sexual assaults on men and women in the military. Thank you all.